Good morning. Today is Friday, June the 29th, halfway through the year.
It is indeed.
How frightening is that?
Well, let me tell you.
No, I don't.
I'm all choked up.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah, right.
Joining us this morning, Simple Country Therapist Lou Quimby.
Sir.
Our Why Do They Say That for this morning
yeah,
is...
It's a lovely book, by the way.
Yes, it's fun.
It's a new book. Why Do They Say That? Yes.
What is the origin of the word adieu?
Adieu. It's French.
Yeah.
Adieu. It means your mama.
Well, almost. The word comes to us from the French, eh, du, a shortening of the phrase, I commend you to God.
Oh, indeed. Oh, well, okay for you.
Yeah, well.
And I got one of my own here.
Yeah, I thought you probably might.
You're working through the A's.
Yeah.
But it's interesting stuff like economy. Where does the word economy come from? And, you know, we use lots of words all the time without even thinking. It comes from the Greek word for house manager. The one place where we generally insist on the careful expenditure of money is in our own home. That's all. Next.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, of course, I used to read dictionaries when I was growing up, so I'm a little abnormal, which I know is in there, too.
No, I did the same thing. Examine. How did we come to use the word examine to mean test? An old-fashioned balance scale has a little indicator which shows which tray outbalances the other. The indicator was called in Latin an examen. Thus, to examine is to watch the indicator by analogy weigh in the balance. Outstanding. Okay, now we're elucidated.
Yeah. I would suspect that the source of a lot of your business comes from the misuse of words.
Like?
The wrong word.
Like.
The wrong delivery of, the misinterpretation of, the emotional connotation of, nothing to do with the word itself.
How about you're just wrong, and you're wrong at the top of your voice? I didn't look up wrong. That'd be interesting to see where wrong. Give me the book. See if wrong is in
Quimby's Journal.
This is great.
Stardate what?
Stardate something really.
Yeah.
Miscreant. Oh, I just went past miscreant.
Yeah, this could be a fun one just to kind of sit and plow through.
Yeah. So, there we are. W-R-O-N-G. Nope.
Didn't realize this would be quite the show killer.
Well, this is, you know, when I was a kid, I used to go to the library in junior high school, and I'd look up something in the Encyclopedia Britannica, and it referred to another one. So I'd go get that volume and look at that. At one point, I had six volumes in front of me, one referring to the other, trying to backtrack all this stuff.
So you mentioned that, and I don't know what kind of show this is going to end
wrong
up being.
Wrong is not in here.
Okay. Memories of libraries. I remember going, I guess it's now called the Carnegie. For me, it's still the library.
Yeah. Yeah, the
and going in there and the smells of the books.
Oh, yeah.
And the sunlight and everything. It was that. And then they moved it to the basement of the courthouse. And then
wasn't that something?
The new building.
I remember that. And I went, oh, gee.
Yeah.
This is terrible.
I think wasn't the line they had outgrown the space?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And they had steel racks and...
Yeah.
Naugahyde chairs. And
Changed. Yeah, the plastic
form fitting. Oh, Carnegie did it right.
Yeah.
The first time.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. Why do some people have more of a bent towards philanthropic than others?
Well, I learned three rules for money. You save some, spend some, give some away. And children are taught that or not. The Rockefeller children... learned to tithe when they were little children going to church. So they always had the internal attitude of giving some away. So now when they're running multi-million dollar charities, they give some away all the time. And it isn't a matter of pennies and dimes. There's, you know, four, five, six decimal places.
Yeah, lots of zeros.
There's lots of zeros. And it's in their mentality. And so they just earn some, save some, spend some, give some away. And it's an interesting mentality. Like some people are just trained as children to be charitable. And they're not to a fault, but those three rules: spend some, save some, give some away. And so they learn to be charitable by practice. Lots of things. Kids learn lots of values simply by imitating what their parents do or tell them to do. And as they do those behaviors and they're agreeable, they become a habit. Now, brush your teeth, go to bed, say your prayers. Sometimes it's not always agreeable, but it becomes a habit. Then your kids get to be 18 or 19 and go off to college or get a job and get an apartment, and pretty soon they're brushing their teeth, saying their prayers, going to bed, because it's a habit, and it's fine. It works well as a good life habit. That's all I'm done.
But some cultures are more
than others.
more designed, more bent to have a higher predilection, whatever the word is,
yeah,
towards that culturally. So is that just kind of the equivalent of large-scale peer pressure?
Large-scale peer pressure.
Everybody's doing it. Just not my friends are doing it. Everybody's doing it if I don't do it.
Well, that's interesting. I'm not a sociologist, so I don't know that what the reasons might be. But I know that a lot of the stuff comes from the elders who practice certain things and require certain things. And then the elders spread it to the youngers, and the youngers do it. Beats me.
If you don't.
Or if you don't.
Beats me, yeah. KINS, News and Information Time is 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Lou Quimby.
We got the world's ills solved at the break, so what are we going to talk about now?
Yeah. 2 minutes or less. That's our clock. How long or how much effort or how interested? I know those are three questions, but does it take to fully grasp another's perspective?
Oh, Lord of mercy.
I'm thinking of different cultures.
I've been married to my bride for 52 years, and we're still finding out things about each other's thoughts, feelings, beliefs, structure, attitudes, meanings. We're still finding out those things.
What I'm thinking of was the Korean Peninsula.
What about it?
Okay, you got South Korea, you got North Korea.
I didn't know that.
You knock it off.
And
the historical, the ancient history, the current that's going on, and then you still have got that question mark about what is going on here, how long does it take, what are the people doing, what's the culture like, all that kind of stuff.
Well, they got a history of three crazy people. Kim Il-sung being the current, the grandson of the first crazy person. And he's oppressed his people. It's if you look at, like, Hitler, for example, who oppressed his people. He put in place a regime where people used power, not arbitrarily, but with the focused terrorism. And what are the people going to do? How are they going to organize? You get a block party going on. The black shirts come in or the brown shirts come in and clear out the block party. There's the power base is so entrenched. Same with Kim Il-sung. The power base is so entrenched. And how they spend their money. There's some stuff on YouTube about North Korea, and they have buildings, 10, 12-story buildings with no occupants. Just nobody's there. And they have streets in those new cities with one or two cars on a, like a four-lane street. So you got to wonder what that's all about. And it's all state money. So fear is the way that those institutions are run. And fear gets compliance. And compliance gets no objections because it's based on fear. Fear, literally, fear of their life. So people don't do things because they're afraid.
In interacting with folks like that, at what point do you start to trust? Well, where does it go from faith in somebody to trust in somebody?
Yeah, I know. I remember Reagan's famous words with a nuclear disarmament. Trust and verify, or but verify, right? So that has to do with those three things that people can change: thinking, feeling, and behavior, ABC, affect, behavior, and cognition. So you have to get behavioral validation, because what people say and how they feel do not necessarily predict what they're going to do. So if you make an agreement with somebody, you have to have behavioral verification in there, because if you don't, all you get is words and good intentions.
Yeah, the platitudes. Yeah.
Right. Who is it? George Bernard Shaw said the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and good intentions doesn't pay the bulldog, feed the bulldog. So you have to look at behavior, and that means you have to have a trust and verify in place. So if you look at having, say, the United Nations verify disarmament, well, that means that United Nations inspectors have to go into the country and go anywhere they want to search every cave and every building and every underground facility. And that doesn't always work well. Doesn't work well in Iran. Certainly it's not going to work well in North Korea initially. But that's an awful lot to, for a government like Kim Il-sung, to let United Nations inspectors into the country and to go anywhere they want. That's crazy making for a despot.
So when there's discussion about, or indications that, there's a significant behavior change. No, yes.
Uh-huh.
I would think red flag warnings would go up all over the place.
I would hope so, because no, yes is once. First is an accident, second is a coincidence, third time may start the pattern. So if it's no, and then yes, then you verify and you look for another yes. And then you also have to do, what do they get for giving away their nukes? What do they get in exchange? Because you're not going to give up that kind of a power base, particularly when it's built on fear. You're not going to give up that kind of power base unless you get something of significance in return. And significance of that is determined by them, not you.
Well, in the example of the wall going down in Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
Okay. Some got it, some didn't. And it took a long time for things to kind of get somewhat normalized.
Oh, indeed.
This isn't an overnight thing either.
Indeed. Look at shopping. Just people want to get stuff. They want to get razor blades for
shaving.
Shaving.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? through the Decade of Difference initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Lou Quimby. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, American Ag Credit, Lolita Cheese, and by Redick.
Redick.
Redick. You guys have a deck?
Yes.
Okay.
Small.
It wasn't a sneaky question.
No, it's just a small deck.
Okay.
Tiny deck.
It's enough to lie down on. That's enough.
Yeah, if you lay down it, then nobody can get in or out. It's a small deck.
So it's a doorstop deck.
That's right, yeah.
Different cultures, where do they come from or originate from? Is it just the desire to be separate from another?
That's an interesting question. I've thought about that for some time, off and on, ever since I went to college. We had a old Professor Aragon, and I asked him once, where did hunting and gatherers started living in caves and did the hunting, and somebody had to make the arrowheads. Did the person who couldn't go out to hunt make the arrowheads and then get better at it, or did the people that knew how to hunt leave the arrowheads to somebody else? On purpose, or was it by design or accident, or did it evolve? And he said, yes. So that sort of thing is an evolution. Some people are better at some things than others. And so an arrowhead maker may be perfectly capable of becoming a good hunter, but they may have a passion, an interest, a curiosity about chipping obsidian to make nice arrowheads. So they sit around the campfire, and they talk about things, and they tell stories, and from the stories and what they talk about things develops a culture, which is a set of thoughts, feelings, and beliefs that people have about those three great questions in life. Who am I? Where am I going? How am I going to get there? And those three great questions exist with the human mammal condition. And it doesn't matter whether you're a caveman or not, you start thinking about things like that stone ring in England. What the heck's it called?
Stonehenge?
Stonehenge. You start thinking about Stonehenge and where the sun, you look down this one sight line and the sun comes up there and the summer solstice and blah, blah, blah. And then they believe, or like the Egyptians, for example, believed in the harvest gods and the fish gods and the flooding of the Nile gods and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you get beliefs, some of which come out of a natural phenomenon and some of which come out of magical thinking and some of which come out of fear in order to not have to deal with the anxiety. Now, if you're a hunter-gatherer and all of a sudden you get great big storms or drought, you're in trouble because you don't eat. If you don't eat, you die. So making sure that the farm is productive is important. So there develops all sorts of rituals, either magical thinking or respectful rituals, to make sure that there's a good harvest. So within that,
often discovered through coincidence.
Yeah. Exactly.
And just replicate, then yeah.
Within that, if you have ritual celebration of things, then you get costume, you get dance, you get chanting, you get songs, and slowly begin to develop a multifaceted culture based upon hopes, dreams, wishes, thinking, fear, feelings, all of which is simply to stay alive in the best quality that you can. And then you think about 2018, well, what could happen? You know, if you get a huge solar flare and blows out the electrical grid in the United States, what are people going to do to eat? There's going to be a lot of people dying because there's no way to use electricity to grow anything. You can't make fertilizer.
Or to drive.
Or to drive.
Product
to, or drive, yeah. So not too many centuries ago, people were restricted to their village in medieval England because of serfdom. Some peasants never got beyond 2 or 3 miles from their village ever in their lifetime. I mean, that's for people like you and I, that's inconceivable. I can't wrap my mind around that one. And if I wrap my mind around it, it's got to be intellectual, because emotionally I can't do it. 1 or 2 miles would be furthest we'd ever get would be Henderson Center. But there's a culture gap.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Well, it's interesting, you know, with all the stuff, all the comments, all the things that are going on now throughout the country and what we're getting twisted about. It's been intriguing to me to think, okay, if we were on the African continent, doesn't matter. Or if whatever we're dealing with now, somebody else came in. Pick a country, it doesn't matter, or a government. It's not American government anymore, it's their government.
Oh, okay.
All these things that we're spending so much time, resources, treasure, etc., on become not even to the point of being superfluous.
Not even relevant.
They just don't exist anymore.
They don't exist, yeah.
And you know, play that one out. It's kind of like the what if so-and-so had died or so-and-so didn't die, that kind of stuff. What would happen, the what ifs?
What would happen if Abraham Lincoln was president today?
Who knows? Ford Theater would probably be still functioning.
Ford Theater would be, would be working.
Yeah, or Washington. Or go the other way. You know, what... Pick your favorite 70s president. Was a founding father.
Oh. Well, there's
what
that.
What might have happened.
What might have happened, yeah.
Yeah.
Trust, but verify.
Yeah, put Ben Franklin in today.
Oh.
How much stuff,
Uncle
or
Ben.
Thomas Jefferson, what would he discover or find in the travel and communications? I mean, all those types of things if they had been there.
But send Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin back to France to negotiate.
How about fly them there so that it's back and forth and you got telephone so the contact is immediate, or John Adams in England at the same time?
Yeah.
You know, things obviously would have been a whole lot different because you wouldn't have those lag periods.
That's a party. Yeah, we need to sit around with a couple of beers and discuss that.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be kind of a kick. KINS, not with microphones. KINS, News and Information Times, 8:43.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:48. Final couple minutes with Mr. Quimby.
Oh, time flies when you're having fun.
If one is intrigued enough to do research about different cultures, how do you can get the factual, but you had mentioned emotional versus intellectual. How do you get the sense? How do you develop that innate feeling of what is going on in that time?
Some people are born with a more developed sense of curiosity than others. That's just genetics right there. But if you take somebody with mild to moderate curiosity and you put them in an educational system where they got a good teacher who likes history, enjoys history, understands the benefits of knowing history, and looks at how history unfolds with this consequence and another consequence, then that kid can really get triggered into more love of curiosity for history and what it means. It's part of those three great questions of life. Who am I? Where am I going? How am I going to get there? And that's answered by all sorts of physical and geographic things like, not culture, the atmosphere you live in,
the environment.
Oh, the environment, yeah. Whether or not you got good soil or not good soil, river traffic. Yeah, we went down the river in Germany on a cruise, and it was interesting because on each side of the river there's a road now, and there was then on each side of the river a road, so you can go up and down one side or the other. But then you look up at the cliffs, and there's a castle up there, then you go along another mile or two, and there's another castle, and I'm going, okay, what do these people do when they want to have a party? They got to send out invitations, and then people got to get there, and that means they got to take the road down, and then they got to climb the hill.
It's called planning.
It's called planning.
Thanks for coming by. See everybody tomorrow morning.